Hey there, all you hip cats, cool kittens, you guys and dolls, you diesel-powered disciples of cool. Welcome back to Tales from the Flip Side here on the Diesel Punk Podcast, the voice of Diesel Punk, online, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever podcasts can be found. I am your host tonight of Tales from the Flip Side, the King of Swing, the Tower of Power, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool. You can call me Johnny, and I am swinging solid from the Houdini Room Studios at the Casa de Cool in fabulous Viva Nash Vegas. Can you dig that? I knew that you could. And tonight, I sound like Burt Prentice, a wrestling promoter in Nashville. Tonight, we are going to veer away from Diesel Punk a little bit in that I am going to give you my review of the brand new Marvel movie, Spider-Man Homecoming. But you're going to get it from a Diesel Punk's perspective. So there's that. Sometimes on this solo podcast, I talk about things that don't necessarily fit into the realm of Diesel Punk, but they're things that I'm interested in nonetheless. And so maybe by default, they're Diesel Punk. Can you dig that? I knew that you could. So 2 weeks ago, it's already been 2 weeks ago, I went and saw the media preview of Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, this movie opens July 7th, which if you're listening to this on the 6th, it's tomorrow. But Friday, July the 7th is the official opening. I saw it well in advance, and I got to warn you right now that this is going to have a lot of spoilers in it. So if you've not seen the movie yet, you might want to pause, go see it, and then come back and listen and see if you agree with my analysis. If you don't care about spoilers or you're not going to see it anytime soon, then listen away, and that would be great. And you can give your feedback at two different places, two different ways. Feedback at dieselpunkpodcast.com or directly to me, Big Daddy Cool at BigDaddyCoolShows.com. You can post your comments on our Facebook pages, Big Daddy Cool Shows, Diesel Punk Podcast, or in the brand new group on Facebook, Diesel Punks. And then you can follow us on Twitter, BDC Magic, and at Diesel Podcast. So let's dig right into it. You have been warned. Spoilers are on the way. All right, so first things first, let me just say, quick, easy review. This is the Spider-Man movie you've all been hoping for. Not only is it the Spider-Man movie you wanted, it is the Spider-Man movie you needed. This movie successfully reboots the failing franchise that was under the control of Sony Pictures. If you don't know the full history, that's okay. But in short, Sony Columbia had the exclusive film rights to the Spider-Man property for the last 20 years. And they did three films with Tobey Maguire. The first two were really pretty good. The third one, not so great, had good moments, but overall not a great movie. Then, less than 10 years after, I want to say maybe 5 years after, they reboot it with Andrew Garfield playing Peter Parker, much darker, much more realistic, veered even further away from the source material, and fans reacted to that version of Spider-Man very lukewarmly. Amazing Spider-Man number 2 comes out, and fans just really didn't dig it at all. And long story short is Marvel petitioned Sony to not give up the film rights, but to cooperate with Sony on a joint production where Marvel would produce it, Sony, Columbia would distribute it, and both would reap the profits. Now, here's the important thing, and this is why you got Spider-Man in Avengers or Captain America Civil War. The big thing here is that Spider-Man, before Civil War, was never part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He was off in his own universe, was not a part of the universe with the Avengers, Captain America, Thor, Iron Man, etc., Guardians of the Galaxy, Doctor Strange, all of them. So this is the first full-length feature film that Spider-Man is a member of the MCU. So let's get into the plot points, and this is where some of the spoilers are going to come in. And if you hear my dog in the background, I apologize. She is barking at something, who knows what. Anyway, the movie opens right after the incident in New York, the Chitauri invasion that we saw in the first Avengers movie. Michael Keaton plays a construction, cleanup, disposal, waste disposal contractor who has been contracted by the city to assist in the cleanup of the debris and the wreckage and all of the Chitauri technology. He loses the contract when Stark forms Damage Control, nod for you comic book fans, and basically the government runs Damage Control in cooperation with Stark, and they come in, they take over. Michael Keaton's character is out of a gig. And I want to say his last name is Toombs. Is that right? Someone will correct me if I'm wrong. But he's out of a gig. Flash forward 8 years later, he has been secretly salvaging Chitauri technology, making and manufacturing and distributing high-tech weapons. 8 years later is the events of Captain America Civil War. Hard to believe, but it's true. And the first part of the movie with the action opens up with Peter Parker doing a series of selfie videos, and a big chunk of them are from the battle in Germany. And so you get to see the Avengers battle from Spider-Man's perspective. It's really, really awesome, really funny. Then flash forward 3 months later, and he's in high school. Ned Leeds is his best friend. Flash Thompson is really not a football jock bully, but he is a bully. He's more like spoiled rich kid bully, which, by the way, Prophet of Pop Culture right here called that 2 years ago when they cast the kid. Liz Toombs is the girl he's got a crush on. Michelle, played by Zendaya, is one of the fringe characters in the social circle. And I gotta say, the casting of Tom Holland as Spider-Man, Peter Parker, perfect. I really don't have any negatives on the casting. All of the casting was really good. Tom Holland was great. The actor who plays Ned Leeds was really funny as the sidekick, the man in the chair, so to speak. The girl who played Liz was beautiful, played it great. But the real coup de grace in casting for me was Michael Keaton as the Vulture. He was perfect. Perfect. You know, I don't know that I really need to go into any spoilers, because this movie really was, in my opinion, a perfect movie. Now, I don't say that about a lot of movies. I've got maybe a list of 5 movies that I would consider perfect in terms of story, style, casting. golly, I can't think of one moment in this movie that wasn't great. Now, here's where the spoilers come in, all right? We know who the villain is. We know who Spider-Man is. First of all, no origin story. It's intimated in some of the conversations between Ned and Peter. You know, Ned, the spider died. You know, and that's about it. Robert Downey Jr. plays a huge role. Not just a cameo. He plays a consistent through character in this movie. Some surprising cameos were Chris Evans as Captain America. Now, he doesn't interact with Spider-Man, but he's on this video program that they play in his high school. These dopey health education, physical education videos that like the government made with Captain America. And it's his costume from the first Avengers, which is awful. That's like my least favorite costume of his. I think it looks horrible. And I was so glad to see it gone after that first Avengers movie. The big surprise cameo. The huge surprise character. Are you ready? Spoiler alert. Was the return of Pepper Potts. That's right. I will just say that at the end of this movie, you know, Peter, you know, gets the suit from Stark in Berlin or in Germany. He lets him keep it. He learns all of the ins and outs of it, but he messes up. He like bucks Stark's instructions, and Stark takes the suit away from him, and he's got to beat the Vulture, who is played by Michael Keaton and has this advanced alien technology, these alien weapons, with no aid from Stark's tech. He's got to do it on his own. And in this movie, he doesn't have his spider sense. Now, I'm not sure why they did that yet, and that may be something that develops later on. I don't know. But so he's way outclassed and outgunned, but he ends up defeating the Vulture. Now, here's another spoiler alert. Liz, the girl that Peter likes, is going to homecoming with. Her father is the Vulture. And Peter recognizes him because he's seen him, you know, as Spider-Man. Goes over to the house, recognizes him. And through the course of conversation, it comes out that Peter's on a, you know, a program with Tony Stark, an apprentice program, and hangs out with Spider-Man and the Avengers. And the Vulture puts one, you know, two and two together and figures out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And he threatens him, says, hey, you treat my daughter to a good time, but if you ever get in my business again, I will kill you. I'll kill everyone you love. I will kill you dead. And so Peter's got to make a choice between doing the right thing or, you know, following his heart. And he goes off to fight the Vulture. Now, this is one of my favorite things about this movie. And this is another spoiler alert. Spider-Man does not kill the Vulture. Michael Keaton's character does not die. He does go to prison. And it's in prison that he makes the right choice. He becomes a noble character. And here's the thing about his character, is that he's just a guy trying to make a living and support his family. He's a really relatable character, really likable guy outside of the, you know, weapons dealing and manufacturing. As a person, you relate to him. You know this guy. And he's really likable. Well, he goes to prison. We see the introduction of Mac Gargan, or Garrigan, the scorpion. And he's not in his scorpion suit yet, but he's got a tattoo of a scorpion on his neck. And after they've both been sent to prison, they reunite, and Mac is like, hey, word on the street is you know who this kid is. You know who Spider-Man really is. And the Vulture does the right thing, and he says, no, I don't know who he is. And the reason is because Spider-Man, in fighting him in the final battle, actually saves his life. And so the Vulture is going to respect him and return the favor. You know, he's his daughter's boyfriend, I guess, and so he respects that. All right, I said it was a near-perfect movie. There was one thing I did take issue with. And some of you listening are going to be like, oh, I can't believe you're saying this. In the final fight, I guess most of the fights with the Vulture, but especially in the final fight, there was really too much action. There was so much action, it became difficult to follow sometimes. Now, for some of you, that's not a problem at all. That's what you want. Fantastic. For me, it was a little bit hard to follow at points. I'm not going to let that take away from my perfect score. That would be my most minor critique. Last but not least, he does earn an invitation to join the Avengers. Stark, you know, organizes this big press release. This is where we see Pepper Potts, a big press conference. And to reward Peter, he unveils, spoiler alert, the Iron Spider suit. Now, it's not the exact one from the comics, but it is the Iron Spider suit. And the audience lost their mind. It was pretty awesome. It was pretty epic. However, Peter turns down the offer to join the Avengers, instead deciding he needs to, you know, learn the ropes a little bit more, you know, get through high school, stay ground level. And, you know, Stark is kind of shocked that he made the right decision, a mature decision, a grown-up decision, instead of grabbing the brass ring. And that was a really, really great moment. There are two post-credit scenes. And make sure you stay through to the end. I think it's the best post-credit scene that Marvel has done. I got to say one other thing. Some people might complain about Marissa Tomei playing an uncannily hot Aunt May. You got to think of this, the age of this kid. He's 14. It's his aunt, not his mother, not his grandmother. She needs to be the age of his mother. So at age 14, we're looking at mid-40s, maybe early 40s, depending on, you know, age. I'm in my 40s. I got a 17-year-old son, so, and a 13-year-old daughter. I've got kids Peter's age. So I would expect Aunt May to be my age. And Marissa Tomei is great. She's perfect. She's cute. She's funny. She's insanely hot. And Stark has a thing for her. She can't stand him. It's awesome. But I'm not going to spoil the post-credit scenes. You're going to have to stay and see those. But the final one, man, was one of the most satisfying post-credit scenes that Marvel has ever done. Soundtrack was awesome. I gotta say, I've gotta see it again. But at first viewing, I gotta say that I think this might be the best movie Marvel has done to date. It may be a notch above Captain America Winter Soldier. That, for me, has always been the gold standard. This may have taken its place. I'm going to see it again this weekend and make that decision. But based on first viewing, it was perfect. Do me a favor, go see it. Support great movies. Support this kind of movie. It it just hit all of the balls out of the park, had all of the right tones, all of the right pacing, all of the right, you know, balance between humor and action and drama, and it was great. Just trust me, great, great movie. One of Marvel's best, maybe the best. It's a perfect film. And you guys can quote me as saying that on Tales from the Flip Side on the Diesel Powered Podcast. Now, before we go, I need to acknowledge our sponsors. First of all, Comic Bento. We're talking about comic book movies. Comic Bento delivers a mystery box of graphic novels to your mailbox every month for about $25. Check them out at mycomicbento.com. Also, check out audible.com at audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. I know we haven't changed the URL yet. But if you go to audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast, you get a free audiobook on us, on me, Larry, Diana, Daisy, Eric. It's on us. Just for trying them out. audibletrial.com/dieselpoweredpodcast. And of course, I want to thank Magic Subscription Box. They deliver a magic shop of magic tricks to your mailbox every month. And you can find out more about them at magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic, as in Big Daddy Cool, BDCMagic, and take 50% off your first box. We got to thank Blue Microphone for the Yeti. That's what we're recording on tonight. And, of course, Comic City Conventions. We're working with them again this year to do panels, workshops, presentations. And we'll have more stuff coming up with more cons in the future. And last but not least, if you're looking for something great to read, pick up my book, Tales from the Flip Side. Same title as this podcast. Is that a coincidence? I think not. Pick up my novel. It's a diesel punk pulp adventure story, Tales from the Flip Side, The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens. Get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Audible, and wherever fine books are sold. All right, guys and gals. Well, that is it for this week's episode and my review of Spider-Man Homecoming. Hope you enjoyed it. And let us know what you think. Connect with us online on Facebook, Twitter, by email. And until the next time, swing hard, swing often. I'll catch you on the flip side.